Tonight we're going to talk to two of our pilgrims, two French researchers that came to Kodiak during the time of pilgrimage and participated in the pilgrimage. But in general, they're researching orthodoxy in North America, specifically in Alaska, and they're going to tell us what they've, where they've been, what they've researched so far, and maybe tell us a couple of interesting stories. But first of all, what are your names?
So my name is Virginie Vatté. I'm a researcher at the National Center for Scientific Research in France.
And my name is Marie-Amélie Salabelle, and I'm a postdoctoral research fellow at the Musée du Quai Branly in Paris.
So why Alaska?
So, well, actually this project is a part of a wider project that looks at Orthodox Christianity on the two sides of the Bering Strait, that is Chukotka in Russia and Alaska. And this project is supported that by the Polar Institute in France, or Institut Paul Émile Victor. And we in this project we combine our expertise or experience maybe on two regions. I did most of my research in northeastern Siberia,
and I've been conducting research in the Aleutian region, and especially in the central Aleutian.
Well, you know, as an Orthodox person myself, I feel like I would have liked to be where you've been and see what you've seen. And so, can you share with us, of course, some preliminary data? How is Orthodoxy alive in Chukotka even after all the years of Soviet oppression of the church practice?
Actually, this project is starting. Mm-hmm. This is the pilgrimage is for us the first step in a 4-year project. So it's really difficult. We can discuss results maybe in some time, because we plan to come again. So then we can tell you more.
are there churches there? Are there people who?
But yeah, what I can say is, according to my previous experience, the Orthodox Church has been growing over the last decade, it was not so much present in the beginning of the 90s when I started to do my research there, but it is actually growing, or it's been growing over the last decade. This is why I think it's interesting for me to come back, because I haven't been there for about 9 years, almost 10 years, and I wanted to look at this.
Yes, and I think St. Herman Seminary is also a good place, because in the archives we have some document about Alaskan missions to Chukotka. So Orthodoxy was so strong in Alaska that missionaries were sent to Chukotka to missionarize, so maybe you would be interested in that.
I actually would be, yeah.
Yes.
There was a chance.
Yeah. Well, and what's your preliminary data, Marie?
Orthodoxy has been has become a very important part of the Aleutonangar culture. Especially like two important missionaries, Father Johann Vilaminov and Father Yakov Nedvitov, came to the Aleutians, and so it was a very it was very interesting to visit the archives and to see this important materials. As you said, in the handwriting, and to be able to touch, to see really their work, and so it was very
But in Kodiak here, Father Herman has an everlasting presence, and Kisa always taught that pray to Upper Herman, he'll take care of you, he protects native people of Kodiak. How about in the Aleutians? Did you notice that who people pray to?
I think that I was talking about those two missionaries who became saints,
mm-hmm.
and from what I can, you know, mm-hmm. feel, they're really important regarding the language issues people are dealing with today, trying to preserve their language. And those two.
Have you noticed the presence of Father Yakov Nitsvetov and Atka? Was he talked about as much as Saint Herman has talked about in Kodiak?
Is present in a way as is you know, the icons in the house. At the church, I mean, is very venerated, and Inatka is a special place because mm-hmm. Father Yakov, the father of Yakov, mm-hmm. yeah, of Father Yakov,
mm-hmm.
Is buried on the island. Yeah,
and is that a special grave that is adorned with flowers or?
Not to my knowledge, uh-huh. because he's buried on the old site of the village, mm-hmm. and the village moved to another part of the island. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah. Well, how about in Chukotka? Who do people venerate there especially? Is it because it was part of the? Well. Is it, how about, can you tell us a little bit about the church service? Which language is it conducted in?
Actually, in my previous research, I haven't looked so much as Orthodox Christianity, mm-hmm. but more at other kinds of practices in the region. Oh. So mm-hmm. this is where I'm saying this is really a the beginning.
So that's why you need to come back and see the Orthodoxy.
Because
I actually know that lots of... Protestant missionaries, they went to that part of Russia, to the eastern part of Russia. So is it a big presence of Protestants?
This was, yeah, I was interested. I mean, when I really started my dissertation, I looked at what one would call traditional
mm-hmm.
Ritual practices, like reindeer herding rituals. Mm-hmm. And then progressively, yes, I saw some Protestant churches appearing mm-hmm. in the village where I did research.
Were there Orthodox churches there as well?
In the village where I did research, there was no Orthodox church.
Mm-hmm.
To what I have seen, and as I said, I those are really even less than preliminary results.
Mm-hmm.
This is kind of a beginning of things that made me interested in the topic,
mm-hmm.
and I really have to... to do the research and go back because it's been some time, but churches were mostly when I did my research in main cities
mm-hmm.
and not so much in villages.
Mm-hmm.
But recently I have learned that the Orthodox Church is locally building some landmarks like crosses,
mm-hmm.
chapels in other places. But this is indeed to be investigated.
But now that you mentioned reindeer herding and all that, I'm sure that most of our listeners, especially from Alaska, would like to know your experiences about eating native food. You, as Europeans, and especially French, so this renowned cuisine. So can you share your gastronomical experiences, please? What were the most weird foods you've tried, you dared to try?
I don't think they were weird food. They were a new food. And to experience, you know, what people like or eat. It's it's a way to know, you know, to experience their culture too. So
what did you dare to experience?
And I liked everything, I think.
What was it like? Something made of
I like this. I like sea lion, reindeer.
What about seal oil?
Seal oil. Yeah.
Anything else like seagull eggs, maybe?
Seagull eggs. Yeah. I think. Mm-hmm. Subsistence is still an important part of. People's life and so.
And did you eat it in a? I just want to even imagine that in a real way, like outside, or you were served. How did it, like seagull eggs?
The seagull eggs I had were used for cooking, for baking, you know, for cakes. Okay.
How about you, after?
Yeah, I also ate everything I was offered. I think it's also important to, it's like sharing, and people have, offer you hospitality and share their food, so you you have to eat everything. Mostly, I lived in different places I tend to think that mostly I lived with reindeer herders, and also, but I spent also, in kind of inner inland villages, and not only villages, tundra, because herders they move with the herd, so but they are in connection with villages. I don't know how much people here are familiar, so this. Nomadic people also have a house in villages, and there are a lot of movement between different places. So tundra is far but not completely isolated, although it is the land, but people move a lot. And I also have spent some time with people living from seafood and sea mammal. To put it shortly, sea mammal hunting villages, although not everybody is a sea mammal hunter, but that's what provides most of the food. And I mean, not to speak about weird things, I to speak about things I like.
Talk about what you like, yes.
As Marie-Amélie said, we're maybe nothing was really weird, but what I like
I'm
is...
I'm removing the word weird.
Okay.
It's politically incorrect word.
I don't know. I forgot how you call that here. Mantak here.
Yes,
it's Hilton in Chukchi. That's something I like actually, and I really
the
like
the black
it.
Part or the white.
The
part?
White part.
Yeah, I like that too.
Yeah, you like that too. I like also what they call kukwatol, which is the. I don't know if people do that here. Is the part of the back. Of the reindeer, and that's where you take the sinew to make the threads, and they dry. People dry that, and I don't know. I really like it. It's like smoked dry, but not completely dry inside. Kind of, I like that. those are things sometimes I miss.
Mm-hmm. Do people there hunt in a traditional way or with modern weapons?
It's a mix, but for instance, I was in a village called Van Kariem, and there they hunt the walrus when they're. Sometimes they go, is that called rockery in English? They go on the land, and when it doesn't always happen because they have ice there. So when there are ice on the sea, usually. Walrus go on the ice. I hope I'm not saying silly things, but that's what I have understood. And then they go, so when there's no ice, they go on land sometimes to, as far as I understood, they need that for the skin. And then the hunters go sometimes, they usually they don't do that. They do once, and they hunt with a harpoon, mm-hmm. kind of a face-to-face hunt, face-to-face, I mean, walrus men. And so this is, I would say, rather mm-hmm. traditional. I mean, there's no, they don't use guns, because mm-hmm. they said the walrus would, I mean, that would be, they would be scared, mm-hmm. and they wouldn't come again, and also they would kill each other, because when they are scared, they stamp on each other. And so yeah, and they look how much, you know, mm-hmm. they have, and then they say stop, you know, we have mm-hmm. enough for some time, that was quite impressive, this face to face.
Yes, it's this was walrus.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Did you eat bears?
I ate polar bear.
Polar bear.
Yeah. Once.
Okay, well, shifting from all these endangered animals, how about fish? what was the... Was there any new method of cooked fish, of cooking fish, that you haven't experienced in your world?
Oh, fish?
Yes.
You mean here?
And what kind of fish? Yes, because here in Kodiak, salmon is the staple.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What about
Chukotka? It's difficult for me to speak about fish, particularly to people who are mm-hmm. specialized in fish, because I am not, and it's mm-hmm. difficult to mm-hmm. really figure out. I guess I in Russia I've eaten, I'm not even sure how it is in English, this forelka, would that be trout, salmon trout?
It's what would be trout.
They have this also koryushka, mm-hmm. would be in Anadyr.
Smelt.
In Anadyr they like this particularly, but that's their certain season. The tundra, I have to remember names, but yeah, I mean, in
what lake fish, right?
Or river. Depends. It's anyway, I discovered fish, I think, in. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is here we discover fish also. I mean, not because the fish we eat at home is has nothing to compare.
Yeah, you have the best salmon in the world. I mean, we have mostly farm salmon in France. Mm-hmm. So,
Well, so far, fortunate to have it. Okay, we talked about books, research, food. Then talk about people. We should have started with people. What were your encounters? Did you feel very different, or you felt the same? Can you share some of the experiences of meeting native people living
here? You mean
where you went on your journeys? Because they spoke different language, they were of different, they had different belief system. What made you feel very different, or what made you feel that maybe it's the same people that you are?
It's difficult to put it shortly. I think the experience are always different, but I don't know. I don't want to say something.
I've been very impressed by the hospitality, like people really welcoming. Welcoming. You can say that. Mm-hmm. And. Patient with us, probably.
Yeah,
we, you know, with our accent and our questions, and people, sharing stories with us. And
In general, I think everywhere people are very
generous.
Hospitality. I mean, and taking care of you. In Siberia, in fact, I spent more time, so that's what I'm going to speak about. It's just, as a Parisian, I can't live there by myself. I mean, I'm just and just a little
get lost in the tundra.
And then say you have to be, people have to be, yeah, you mentioned patience, but
yeah,
you have to be patient.
They have to, yeah, they are
just
patient.
Don't know.
Yeah, yeah. Thoughtful, yeah.
What was your living situation? Because here you are staying in a dorm, mm-hmm. where usually our students live during the school year. Any exotic living conditions you had to experience? Or it was regular housing?
For me, it was regular housing.
Yeah, maybe that's we take the chance to thank everybody who made that possible.
Yes.
For us to stay at the seminary.
At the seminary,
because
yeah.
For this stay, that was really great. Mm-hmm. I mean, thank you.
Actually,
so
that
much.
Was,
that was
our first experience, I mean, to stay in a seminary. I
yes,
mean, yeah.
That was our first experience.
So and you also participated in a pilgrimage. Can
yes.
you, can you mm-hmm. share with us? Because it's, well, we had people come from different lands, but somehow you became part of this pilgrimage and were even included in the sermon of Metropolitan Tichon as two searchers, like the pilgrims. Can you maybe describe your experience of a pilgrimage? If you maybe ever went on another pilgrimage, and this could be compared with it?
That was my first pilgrimage, I think. That is very impressive. I don't know if I can really find the words, but it's an amazing place and an amazing experience. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah, something that bound all the pilgrims to mm-hmm. together. Can we say that? Bond?
Yeah. Yes.
It was, I think it was, you know, to read about the pilgrimage, you know, so we read a little bit about Spruce yeah. Island, about mm-hmm. Father, St. Herman, and how they talk about his, you know, the chapel there and mm-hmm. everything, the atmosphere, and it's something else. To be there and actually mm-hmm. see it and experience mm-hmm. it. And when we first came, I mean, it was foggy that day. Mm-hmm. And we were very impressed by these huge trees mm-hmm. with moss. Yeah, mm-hmm. with moss and this, yes, this world.
This
is another yeah,
like the world of the
yes,
place.
The silence and the,
mm-hmm. and the green peace.
And yes, exactly. Yeah, this is yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, my final question to you would be: when you leave Alaska, what will you carry? Like something special? Maybe a word that you heard from somebody? The green peace, right? A conversation or a face of another pilgrim yeah. or a story told. Well, can you share with us what would be?
I think the people,
yeah,
the way people mm-hmm. share with us, even the Metropolitan, I mean, yes.
Yeah, I think we encountered, we didn't stay very long, but I have the feeling that we already know people, I mean,
yes.
for mm-hmm. quite some time. Yeah, mm-hmm. I mean, it's just the feeling that, yeah, mm-hmm. we'll think about these people and about people
yes.
here. Mm-hmm. We'll think about
we won't forget them.
Yeah, that they're
they'll be
in a way part of our life. And mm-hmm. I mean, so it's mostly probably.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, people.
And so will you forever enveloped in that pilgrimage and in the sermon, so all the people will remember you as well. And this journey will continue together. Well, thank you very much for agreeing to answer our questions and be the second podcast of St. Herman Seminary.
And thanks again to
thanks to
all the faculty staff of St. Herman Seminary mm-hmm. and thank you to you, Doria,
and
everyone. Yeah.
Well, tell about our seminary, please, and about Spruce Island. And
we will.
We need more pilgrims.
Thank you.